Ladies and gentlemen, we present The Navy Lark by Lawrie Wyman and starring Leslie Phillips, Stephen Murray, and John Pertwee. These days, our lives are beset by rules and regulations. But have you realized that whoever makes them never bothers to put up a notice telling us what we can do? He's much too busy putting up notices telling us what we can't do. Take the average man who goes out in his car. He's immediately faced with no right turn, no left turn, no overtaking, no entry, no exit, no waiting, no parking. And he's in a no-through road, so he's had it for a start. As he can't drive, he decides to have a drink. Mistake number two. He's met with no dogs allowed, no children allowed, no singing in the bar, no betting slips, no checks cashed, and no responsibility whatever taken for his coat. So, what's left? A quiet walk in the park? Mistake number three. No paddling in the pool, no climbing trees, no leaving litter. Trespassers will be prosecuted. Keep off the grass. Don't pick the flowers. Do not touch. Keep out. Penalty £5. Of course, the Navy has its forbidden areas, too. And never more so than one of Her Majesty's dockyards, as Sub-Lieutenant Phillips is about to discover as he lounges in all innocence at the bottom of the gangway to HMS Troutbridge.
Shabby cat?
Who? Oh, me. Yes, what is it, Constable?
You responsible for this ship?
Well, no, not all of it. Just the dents, actually.
Then move it.
What, the whole ship? Well, on my own?
No, the Hobject.
Hobject? What Hobject?
Any Hobject was causing the Hobstruction.
Obstruction? Where? Blimey, how did that get there?
I wouldn't know, but it's got to go.
Well, obviously. But why tell me?
You hard a hogster of the day.
I have that honor.
Then move it.
Now, wait a minute. That's not our job.
That object is parked transversely athwart, crosswise, across the dock of the railway lane. Thereby cause a hindrance, a obstruction, or a hazard.
Is it?
It is. So, move it.
Philip, what's going on down there?
But we're having a haltercation about a object, sir.
Object? What object?
It's contagious. There's a brand new 60-foot-long caravan trailer parked alongside us, sir, and it's right across the dockyard railway line.
Oh, so move it.
How can I, sir? It's not ours. Is it?
Of course it is. No, wait a minute, I'd better check. Keep the
officer,
Pertwee.
Gone on late, sir.
What?
Well,
when did you wear?
Not until after that perishing copper scored, sir.
Pertwee, come on out from behind wherever you are. I want you down on that dock side with me and Mr. Phillips at once.
Aye, aye, sir.
I hope you realize, Subjection, that all this hubbub and other blue won't make a difference. That caravan trailer has got to be moved.
Yes, but who by?
You mean by whom?
Oh. Sorry, pardon.
Got it. And you lot on Troutbridge is the Hoombay.
She's HMS Troutbridge, if you don't mind.
Well, I don't mind, but I'm sure HM does.
Why, Philip, what's all this about? And where's CPO Perkins?
If you don't mind, sir. Don't mind, I'll announce myself. Chief Petty Officer, Federal Officer, but I'm going to report, sir.
Who?
Chief Petty Officer.
You feeling all right?
Don't worry, sir. When there's a policeman about, he never admits his name is Pertwee.
Aren't we?
Thank you, sir. Thank you very much indeed.
Chief Petty Officer Pertwee. Have heard that name in our records, I'm sure.
See? Now look what you've started, Mr.
Chief. And just for once, I want an honest answer. Is that caravan anything to do with you?
Caravan, sir, what caravan? Hey, it's a joke.
Hey, it's got to be.
Hey, where did that perisher come from?
Ain't more concerned, where's going on?
Yeah, just a minute, Constable. Pertwee, you still haven't answered my question. Does that caravan belong to you?
Absolutely, positively not, sir.
Or any other member of the crew?
Not to the best of my knowledge, sir. No.
Or your Uncle Ebenezer?
Are you kidding, sir? That caravan's brand new. Monkey never had anything new since he cut his first tooth. That had been filled twice before it came through.
Good. Well, I don't know anything about it, and neither does Mr. Phillips, so that puts Troutbridge in the clear. Splendid. Well, that's the end of that, then.
Except for one thing.
What?
Move it.
You know his trouble. He's got a one-track mind.
I have, and it's the railway track, and I want that Hobbs junction half out of it.
Oh.
And when you get it half out of it, I want it half of it, right half of it. Half out of it, half out of the dockyard, all together. Understood?
Of course. Obviously.
Absolutely. All right, then. But let me warn you, this incident will be reported to the superintendent of the dockyard, so I advise you to expedite its removal at once.
You know, sir, the more you walk around this caravan, the bigger it seems to be.
Yes, it does, doesn't it? It's not so much a trailer as a mobile housing estate.
Well, sir, according to this label tied to the door handle, we're now looking at the J. Andrew Wickersmead Majestic model. The stately home of the roof.
Mummy, you could accommodate at least two families in that thing.
Yes, even if they went on speaking terms.
Well, they wouldn't need to be, sir. They'd never meet.
Incidentally, Chief, what's on the other side of the label? I suppose it hasn't got the customer's name on it.
Eh? Well, hang on. Oh, yes, sir, it has. Yeah. It's for Splodge. Care of HMS Trout, Bridge Portsmouth Dockyard End.
Splodge? Must be a new chap.
Mr. Phillips, sir.
Whoever he must be absolutely stinking rich to buy a blooming big.
Mr. Phillips, sir.
Yes?
Splodge isn't the customer's name, sir. Splodge is what happened to the customer's name. Some rain that must have got on the writing. And all we know is that he's a dirty blue-black splodge.
Oh, no.
Well, whoever owns it, it is addressed to Troutbridge, so we really will have to move it.
Will we really? I say, bags I drive.
Mr. Phillips, a caravan trailer doesn't have an engine.
No, sir, but I think it's about to get one. Yeah, along with a set of trucks and all.
What?
Behind you, sir. I think there's a train that wants to overtake. Yes, it do. Ever so much.
Well, you just have to wait, that's all. The three of us can't move this on our own.
Quite, sir. By the look on Mr. Train Driver's face, I don't think he's in a waiting mood. One of J. Andrew Wickersmead's Majestic.
All right, so it's a cinema. Get it off his back.
Now, don't be ridiculous. Three of us can't possibly shift a thing this size.
Then how do you like it if I give my old engine Daisy full throttle and let her belt right through you?
Ain't you got a common boy?
Do, Pertwee. Don't want to start anything.
You may not, but I do. I want to start me train. Come through here at the same time every morning I do. Wet or fine, summer or winter. Regular as clockwork.
Oh, I see. You drive a clockwork train.
No, I do not. Now get this thing out of it. You can't hold up the work of the dockyard.
We can't hold up the tow bar of this flipping trailer either. Weighs half a ton on it, though.
It might be easier if we balanced it with a heavy weight on the other end. Incidentally, where is Abel Johnson?
Not available for balance, I'm afraid, sir. He's off on his morning mail run.
Mail run?
Yes, sir. He gets the post at the double. It's Pertwee's favour to Fatso, sir. He has to sprint to Captain Povey's office and back every morning to help get his weight down. He's been doing it at some remarkably fast times lately, sir.
However did you talk him into doing it at all?
Well, simple, sir. He don't get his breakfast until he gets back.
I've been thinking, he must have enormous spring in it.
Who, Johnson?
No, the train driver. To drive a clockwork engine, that's how.
Mr. Philip.
Sir?
Stop thinking.
Aye, sir.
Right! Well, if you lot won't do anything about shifting that thing, I'll have to do it myself! Them wheels ain't on the rail. So if I give it a bit of a gentle nudge on the side with my Daisy, it'll swing off a track enough for me to get through.
No, wait!
Come! I'm late now! Mind your back!
move over, sir. Quick, I want to see.
See what?
Where he puts the key in to wind Daisy up.
Sir Philip.
Sir?
You've been thinking again.
Sorry, pardon.
Well, here he comes. And he calls that a bit of a gentle nudge.
What happened?
Well, I think the mobile mansion just lost its west wing, sir.
All right, I'm through, but I'm reporting this lot to the superintendent of the dockyard.
Well, at least we got rid of him.
For that shouting. It was coming from that closed-in truck at the end.
Yes, and I know who was doing it. You know who that was, and it was Fatso. No wonder that lazy layabout hasn't been getting any thinner. He hasn't been running for the mail at all. He's been sneaking a lift on the train every day.
Well, he's stuck on it this time. I wonder where he'll end up.
Goodness knows, sir. Wherever the engine spring runs down, I suppose.
Oh, shut up. Good morning, Heather.
Hello,
Heather.
Good
morning, Miss. So, it's the caravan dwellers. And how are our three raggle-taggle gypsies, though?
Oh, very funny. News travels fast, doesn't it?
I'm surprised you had time to come here. I thought you'd have been far too busy selling lavender, making clothes pegs, telling fortunes.
If you don't mind, Heather, we've already had sufficient Michael extracted on the way here from the ship.
Apart from here, where's your oath? We also had two choruses of Dan Dan the Caravan Man. And oi, Gypsy Rose Pertwee, where do you keep your crystal ball?
I see.
There were also one or two rather more pertinent suggestions as to where we could conceal the caravan. Which we better not repeat.
I believe Captain Purvey has a few suggestions as well, which are possibly of a more practical nature.
Oh, Lummy, he's heard about the beastly thing too, has he?
Continuously, all morning, from a variety of sources, but principally from the superintendent of the dockyard.
Well, now, there's a surprise.
Good morning, Lieutenant Parry.
Good morning,
morning, Captain Purvey, sir.
I didn't expect you to be in my office. I didn't see the horse tied up outside.
Here we go again.
And the chief as well. Tell me, Gypsy Rose Pertwee, where do you keep your crystal ball?
At the risk of spoiling your humorous witticism, sir, I haven't got one. I prefer to use the card.
Really? Well, I don't need anything to foretell the future of you three.
So, whose is it,
and how did it get there?
Well, in answer to your first question, sir...
We don't know, sir.
And in answer to your second question, sir...
We don't know, sir.
And before you ask it, in answer to your third question, sir... We don't know that either, sir. But I'll find 14 witnesses to prove it's nothing to do with Pertwee. And permission to leave now, sir, as it may take me a bit of time to round them up.
Stay right where you are, Pertwee. Now listen to me, the three of you. First of all, I want to know who owns that caravan. And secondly, I want it moved out of the dockyard at once. Understood?
Loud and clear.
Furthermore, you will not use naval transport to move it. Neither will you use a penny from any naval fund to cover the cost of removal. You will get that thing out of the dockyard and out of my sight entirely at your own expense. Is that understood?
Even louder and even clearer, sir.
Good.
And nothing can be louder and clearer than the way you slammed that door.
Yes. The time has come for action.
And what did you in mind, sir?
Well, nothing, really. I was rather hoping you two would come up with something.
Well, I realize I'm only a mere woman, but why don't you telephone J. Andrew Wickerson, or whatever their name is, and ask them who the caravan belongs to?
I was just going to suggest that myself, actually.
Yes, so was I.
Well done. I wish I'd thought of it. Use that telephone, please.
Thank you. Yeah, it's one of those new long-distance automatic dialing numbers.
Can I help you, sir?
No. It's quite simple. Now then, 08-4-3-0-1-7-6-2-8-4-4.
7. Hello? Is that 08430176284 47? Oh, sorry. Hello? Is that J. Andrew Wickersneed and Associates Limited? Good. Could I speak to your reference P52/G/291/S48 with a funny little star thing after it? Pardon? Do it yourself? No, I don't think anyone did this one on his own. It's your Majestic model. Not your department. Well, could you put... Yes, I'll hold on. Oh, hello. Yes, the Majestic model. No, I don't want to buy one. I've already got one. At least somebody has. You see, we suddenly found one outside our... I beg your pardon? Hello? Hello? Oh, there you are. Now, we found this... Have I what? Who am I speaking to? Repairs? Look, I don't want anything repaired. I want to find out who owns it. Oh, thanks very much. Pretty tune. Hello? You're who? Oh, accounts. Well, I've got this Majestic model stuck... No, I didn't pay cash. Thanks very much. Hello? Hard purchase department. I've got this Majestic model parked outside. What installments? No, I haven't paid anything. I merely want to... Thanks very much. Good morning. Well, I don't know if... Well, P52/G/291/S48 with a funny little star thing after it. That means what? Who's in arrears? Now, just you... Hello, legal department? I want to... good morning. Now, I've got this Majestic... You're what? All right, then, but in future I shall go elsewhere. Well, what happened? They're going to sue me. Oh.
Look, take no notice, sir. Do what the Pertwees always do, sir. Swear blind you never had the bill and order another one.
I'd rather he didn't, actually. Trying to get rid of this one seems to be difficult enough.
No problem at all, sir. Ring up me Uncle Ebenezer and ask him to do it for us, wholesale.
Oh, don't be ridiculous. A man of his age will never be able to lift it.
Obviously not, sir. Obviously not, but his buttercup will.
I thought your auntie's name was Hortense.
Look, it is, sir, it is. Buttercup's the name of Nunky's 1923 steam-powered traction engine.
Oh.
Mind you, I'm not saying that Auntie couldn't lift it on her own, no.
Well, having met her once, I'm blooming certain she could.
Yeah, quite. But I think Nunky's steam traction engine might generate more power.
You don't know Auntie.
Even so, we'll settle for Buttercup. You dial, Nunky Chief. I've already sprained my dialing finger once a day.
Nunky, you old fool. Where the blazes have you been? You're half an hour late.
Wasn't my fault. Buttercup's got a rumble in her boiler. It's this new smokeless fuel what's done it. It's too rich for her.
Well, is she all right now?
Not half. I bunged half a pound of bicarbonate down her funnel.
Good health.
manners, Buttercup, manners. Now, where's this load of stolen you want towed away?
It's not a load of stolen, you leery old layabout. That caravan. Now back up and it's on the towing bar.
Right, mind your back.
Right, come on. Come on. Come on, it'll do. That'll do you. That'll do you. Whoa!
I have whoa, don't I?
Yeah, about 3 foot and a gallon of paint too late. Look, pull forward a bit. That'll do you. Lovely, lovely. Right, jump to it, working party. Hook that tow bar on. Right, good lads. Now, fall out of the working party and get back on board. Off you go, Nunky. She's all yours. Well, get going, you old fool. That perishing junkyard train's coming back.
All right. Give Buttercup a chance. She's got to get her pump up, you know. That's better.
Look out, you stupid old freak. You're going straight for him. Pull over.
I can't. Buttercup's wheels are stuck in the railway line. Hey, to you too. Oi, you. I want to come through. Get that lump of old iron off me track. Not like me. You get yours off of it. Don't you call my Daisy a lump of old iron.
And don't you call my Buttercup a lump of old iron.
Look, why don't you both back up a bit so Nunky can get out?
I'm not backing up for him, and I'm not backing up for him.
Who?
I don't feel that old tin kettle can even go backwards. Right, that does it. Full speed ahead, Buttercup.
Nunky, don't do it.
Yes.
Now, look what you've been and gone and done. You're Buttercup. Bet by Daisy!
You'll bend it some more in a minute. Back we go for another try!
Nunky, turn it up, you old nick. You'll have us all in a rattle.
He started it.
But I'll finish it!
Oh, my poor little head. Jam packed full of headaches.
Johnson, you sneaky, underhanded, grumbling, great grease ball. Where are you sprung from?
It was that last fan at the back, and I didn't spring, I was chucked. What I landed on wasn't what gave me the headache either. Oh, me head. And all me other bit. Oh.
Well, serves you joyful, mate. Serves you joyful. What were you doing in that van anyway?
I was trapped. I've been trapped in there for hours and hours and hours and hours and hours. The door slammed shut when he bashed the caravan off the line. If that second bash just now hadn't opened it again, I'd been trapped in there for days and days and days and days.
Johnson.
And days.
Be quiet.
Or even weeks.
Spelt out.
Certainly. Can I have me breakfast, Ned?
No, you can't. You haven't earned it.
Yes, I have. I got the mail. Look, 2 letters, one for you and one for Mr. Murray.
Johnson, you know the rules. You didn't run for the post. You sneaked a lift on the train, so no breakfast.
Oh, you two, why don't you stop yakking and tell old Bristlemush to get off my truck?
Oh, blimey. Nunky, you's a great puddin'-headed loaf, can't you? Couldn't you shunt that caravan out backwards?
I could, but I'm not going to. Come on, Buttercup, let's knock a few more petals off these daisies.
Tuck it in.
Hold that. Percy, what the business is going on down here?
Nunky's playing Buttercups and Daisies.
I wish he'd stop it. Every time there's a bang or a crash, I keep thinking it's me.
You're so modest, Mr. Phillips.
You bash things much harder than that.
On the other hand, Mr. Murray, sir, by the time Nunky's finished with it, J. Andrew Wickersmead's majestic mansion on wheels may well look like something Mr. Phillips has navigated.
Ooh. Ooh? Yeah, ooh. Same name.
What is?
J. Andrew Wickersmead. That's the name on top of this letter from Mr. Murray.
What?
Go on, open the letter. We might find out who owns the thing.
Yeah, at least we'll be able to sting him for the removal charges and other costs. And...
Oh. Well, sir?
Go on, sir.
Don't keep us in suspense, sir. Who does own it?
Me.
Pardon? Hey?
Ah! How did that happen?
Well,
According to this letter, I appear to have won it in some sort of lucky draw.
Lucky draw? Won it, sir? Oh, well, that explains everything, doesn't it?
Well, to you, perhaps, but how am I going to explain it to Captain Povey and the superintendent of the dockyard?
Well, offhand, sir, I say that's your problem. And you're welcome to it.
Thanks very much.
Quiet? You're seriously telling me you won it?
Well, apparently, sir.
I see.
Well, I'm not quite sure I did win it. It might be your caravan, Heather.
Mine?
You see, it's the surprise prize given by the Arnold Frogmore from the Portsmouth Ticket Agency to the holder of the 500,000th theatre ticket to be sold by their agency.
Oh, yes.
Well, sir, some weeks ago, I invited Wren Chaitin to the Gosport and Havant Amateur Operatic Society's performance of The Pirates of Penzance. And that's the agency where I got the tickets. You remember, Heather, we had seat numbers 15 and 16 in row Z. And number 15 was the winning ticket.
Row Z? The back row? You filthy swine. You didn't go to see the pirates. You went for a snogging session.
I did nothing of the sort.
No, you didn't, actually. We didn't go.
What?
Well, if you remember, I thought I was going to be bored stiff. I suddenly had a headache. And you said it didn't matter because you knew somebody who could sell the tickets elsewhere.
Chief, who did you sell those tickets to?
Captain Povey. Me? I've never been to see the Pirates of Penzance. Oh, good grief. I just remember. I had to buy them for my dear wife, Ramona. And she took her dear mother.
Oh, they're the ones with the lucky draws. Anyway, never mind. Perhaps your dear wife Ramona won't find out about it.
Mr. Phillips, my dear wife Ramona finds out about everything.
Pity. Yeah, not to mention a dirty great shame, sir. Because Nunky, that train driver between them, are busy converting your lady wife's brand new majestic mansion on wheels into a slightly shot foiled shack on skates.
What? No, no, they mustn't do that. Somebody stop them.
No, I doubt if anybody can. If you care to look out of the window, you'll see that.
Tony, look, they're still at it.
Look, he's pushing Ramona's beautiful new caravan towards the edge of the dock. The pipes must be wrong. It'll go over. Stop them!
And good luck to all who sail in her. One caravan well and truly launched.
What am I going to say?
Hello, Captain Purvey's office? Yes, sir. Very good, sir. I'll tell him. But whatever you decide to say, sir, the superintendent of the dockyard would like you to say it to him. He is now holding you responsible for allowing a traction engine to discharge rubbish while in harbour.
Oh, no.
Cause the cheer up, all's not lost. I happen to have here one of my Uncle Ebenezer's business cards. If you look down the list of his activities, you'll notice that it states, sea salvage, a speciality. Distance, no object, provided it's not straight down. Terms arranged, but never agreed.
Leslie Phillips, Stephen Murray, John Pertwee have been going caravanning in the Navy Lark, written by Laurie Whiteman. Leslie Phillips was the sub-lieutenant. Stephen Murray was the number one. John Pertwee was the chief petty officer. Captain Povey was played by Richard Caldicott. Heather was Heather Chasen. The engine driver was Michael Bates. Uncle Ebenezer Pertwee was Daniel Evans. And Able Seaman Johnson was played by Ronnie Barker. The show was produced by Alistair Scott Johnson.